listeners. This is Basement Gaming, episode 69. My name is Herb, and this is my dear cousin Brigham.
You're a wizard, Harry!
This episode, Brigham and I discuss the Hogwarts Legacy state of play and first impressions on games we've been playing recently. If you enjoy the show, give us a follow on your podcast listening app of choice and on Twitter at BasementGaming9 to keep up with new episodes and join in on the conversation. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. Lumos. So whenever we record, for people that don't know, we put blankets over our heads to like help with the soundproofing. So this is perfect Harry Potter. We just like have our wand under the blankets and just Lumos Maxima.
It's like we're under the cloak of invisibility.
if we can't see the world around us, we're invisible, right?
Exactly. That's how it works.
Oh, what man.
Movie, do you remember that movie Mystery Men where the guy was only invisible when nobody could look at him?
No. That sounds familiar. That sounds meme-y. Sounds like a meme. So maybe I do know.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. That's what that reminded me of. I had Kel from Keenan and Kel in it. Anyway. Yeah, okay.
So someone out there knows what it is. So, yeah, today is Saturday, March 19th. And 2 days ago, there was a PlayStation State of Play for Hogwarts Legacy, the much anticipated Harry Potter game. So, a little background with this game, too. I think the devs or the CEO of the Warner Brothers Games say this game is supposed to be coming out this holiday season, holiday 2022. But I think it was like a leak or something. One of the devs was saying, we don't think the game will be ready this year. So a little bit of trouble there. Hopefully.
Yeah, kind
of
weird.
Hopefully they come together and come out with an actual date, not a time period, and just fight about it the whole time. And hopefully when it does come out, it looks good and plays well. Because this game, at first glance, looks amazing, bro.
Yeah, it looks so good. Like, it kind of blows my mind that we're actually getting the Harry Potter game that we've always dreamed of, you know? I feel like a while back on the podcast, we talked about our dream video games or just, like, the best universes for a video game. And I'm pretty sure we both mentioned Harry Potter. Just because there's so much lore, so much about the characters and like that world that we love so much. And this game is really bringing all parts of that Hogwarts experience, right? Like, it was showing taking classes to like evilness going on to like exploring the grounds, not just like Hogwarts itself, but like the forest around it and meeting characters and creatures. And it's just so much to do. It's incredible how big this game looks from that preview that we saw.
Even the neighboring towns, like you can go to Hogsmeade, you can go to like what I'm guessing are small little camps and such around Hogsmeade. Like you said, the world seems huge. You essentially build a new character and it's set in the 1800s, like
yep, 1800s.
Late 1800s. So I love that time period for Harry Potter when there's not like a ton of technology, where it's like, oh, why would you use Lumos instead of just busting out your cell phone and pressing the flashlight app? It's like, I like it when it's a little bit older time. So the fact that you're using magic in some situation feels a lot more like overpowered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And feels like magic is definitely something that is special. Whereas when you think about it, in our world right now, we're doing magic left and right, you know? It's like we're using these mini computers in our freaking hands and doing crazy things. So It's really cool that it's like set in that time frame. I think that's an underrated thing about this game. And the fact that it's open world, you make your own character, you kind of make your own adventure kind of thing, is just really exciting. It's just really, I'm really looking forward to it. I do have some questions. I'm wondering how much of a linear story there is in this game, and like how big. Like, how many side quests are there, you know? And in the state of play, they mentioned that you can take classes and there's, like, side, like, missions that you have to do, some chores and stuff like that, because your character is coming into the school late. He's a fifth year, his transfer. So there's all these things you're supposed to be doing to like catch up to the rest of the class. So I think that there's some built-in must-do side quests, but I wonder how many just random side stories are there. Like you don't need to be doing for the main quest, but you could just go out and do and explore.
Yeah. That's my I was wondering the same thing because this game from the preview we saw looks very sandboxy, right? Where there's just a lot of different things you can do. You can kind of choose what you want to focus on. And I have no idea if it really will feel like a sandbox and there are like quest lines in the game, but the quest line isn't really like the main focus of the game. Like it's just something you can do. Or if there is like a mainline linear story that basically takes up the entire game and they just want to show you all the different systems for now. I don't know. That's a great question.
I'm also wondering, another question I had right after seeing this is how much of an RPG element is going to be into this game? How much can you upgrade your character? How many stats do you have, you know? So do you level up whenever you go do a quest? Do you level up and all of a sudden your spells do +2 damage? Or there was a talent tree demo almost where you can like kind of specialize in certain things. And it's like, okay, how specific is that? Like, can I put points into my stealth? Can I put points into my stun abilities? Can I put points into my like fire abilities? So I'm wondering how specific they go into your character modifications, you know? Or do they just keep it pretty bare bones and just have like general things you can just upgrade as you go? And then by the end game, you're just overpowered, you know? Because most RPGs or games that have like RPG elements, by the time you get to max level or you reach the end of the game, you can unlock everything, you know? You can unlock all the abilities and all the skills and stuff. So I'm wondering if that's also like this, or do you actually have to choose something and then just stick with it the entire time, you know?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. And the fact that this is kind of a game studio, Avalanche, that's a bit lesser known. I know they have worked on games in the past, but they're not like some huge like powerhouse like, you know, Insomniac. That kind of makes you think that it'll be a much more like simplified RPG. And also because it's Harry Potter, it's a brand name that a lot of people know. People who aren't into video games are going to play this game. So I would say it's probably going to be like a simmered down RPG experience. A little side note, that does make this game a Western RPG. I think you also agree with that, Herb. But I really don't know for sure. And I think that just kind of shows that while this preview is awesome, I feel like I need to see a bit more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like maybe they can do like 11 minutes of gameplay, just like unedited, uncut, or they can invite some journalists over to check out the game, because there are a lot of these little nitpicky questions that I am also questioning.
Usually they do that long gameplay drop like 2-3 weeks before the game comes out.
You may have to wait till then.
Yeah, it's usually never this far out. Every time I see it, it's like, oh, 14 minute gameplay, and it's like, oh, the game is coming out next month, that's why. Like it's pretty much ready, you know, and they're just giving you like the biggest taste here you'll probably get before the game actually comes out. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions. This is just a better version of a cinematic trailer, really, because you actually see the game engine moving and you see gameplay, but it also raises a whole lot of questions. So I think the favorite thing about this trailer for the both of us was the spells and the combat section, where you get to see how you actually fight in this game and how the fighting mechanics work. And yeah, it looks sick, but it also gave me a lot of questions like, so how are they going to do casting spells? I doubt it's going to be just press one button. So I'm like, do you have to move the thumbstick in a specific order to cast a specific spell? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question too.
Are they going to have like spell slots where you can equip 4 or 5 spells and then you can like throw those out at will? And then you can like unlock more slots as you get stronger. Like again, just so many questions. And I think These are things where it doesn't matter how they do them. The fact that the base is like, okay, you got spells. As long as they don't do something ridiculous, I just think it's going to be really fun. It just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think this game is going to be a huge hit. I think it's going to sell gangbusters. Like, very few people I saw, at least on Twitter, came away from that was like, yeah, this game looks pretty bad. Like, pretty much everyone was like, this game looks incredibly good. like super high value, really quality gameplay.
It reminds me of, I don't know what it reminds me of, actually. It's just Harry Potter. It's such a, like I said, recognizable IP. I know people that are just way hard, like super hardcore gamers are just like, oh no, we gotta play this Harry Potter game. This is like so much fun.
Yeah.
And okay, so I guess one more question I had, I mentioned it before we started, was I wonder if there's gonna be an online version. Maybe not an online version, but like just a little online thing where you can just PvP, where it's just like 1v1s. Mm-hmm. That would be sick, dude.
Especially that'd be sick.
If there's like combat
arena or something.
Yeah, just a dueling arena. I want a dueling arena and I want a rank ladder. Like, I just want to get good and then just go into dueling and then just do 1v1s. Or you can do 3v3s. You know, 3v3 in this game. Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah, that may be a tall order. I highly doubt they are.
Down the line.
Yeah, down the line, maybe, for sure. That's the thing too. Like, I can see this game becoming sort of like a games as a service where, like, you know, you have the Hogwarts school, but then they come out with expansions that's like the next year six or year seven, or even not even a whole new year, just like, you know, oh, here are additional classes, here is another quest line to try out, here is now you can go to Diagon Alley or something like that, you know, like,
yeah, there was no Diagon Alley.
I saw
there's a clip of you in the bank though, so I was like, do you get to get the Diagon
that's Alley? True, you did, that was a bank area. Oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, so that definitely opens up the door to like other areas outside of Hogwarts for sure.
Another nitpicky thing we talked about was how do you think they're gonna handle the house selection process? Because I feel like we might be into a situation where everyone just picks freaking Gryffindor or Slytherin.
I'm going Hufflepuff. I'm like, unironically, I'm going Hufflepuff.
Dude, that Hufflepuff house, they showed a clip of all the houses, like the common rooms. I mean, the Hufflepuff common room looked pretty cool. That's the thing. I think they all look super cool. So we might just like end up making four characters.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to try Ravenclaw too, because I don't think we ever saw the Ravenclaw house in the movies.
I don't think so. Did they even do anything? Isn't what's her face? The chick that Harry had a crush on in the Order of the Phoenix. Isn't she a Ravenclaw or is she a Hufflepuff?
Oh, an Order of the Phoenix. I thought she had a crush on Ron's younger sister.
Yeah, well, that's way later.
And then remember in the fourth book, it was like that student from the other school. Was there a student from Ravenclaw you had a crush on? I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Freaking Order of the Phoenix. She was played by
my wife, the expert.
What do you mean? How do you not remember this? Her name was I'm looking this up. We're not going forward until we figure this out. It was like the first on-screen kiss of Harry Potter was with her in Order of the Phoenix. Where is she? Oh no.
Okay, the Harry Potter expert's coming right now. I'm gonna ask her this question.
Oh, she's gonna make us look like fools, freaking. Hold on. I'm going to get it before she tells us.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Where are you? Why does IMDb... Oh, there she is. Cho Chang. What a name, by the way. Yeah, Cho Chang. I did it. Too slow.
Okay, she also said Cho Chang, so that confirms it. You're
played by Katie Long.
Okay.
What a terrible
name. We're trying to figure out if it was... Okay, thank...
You should have put it on the mic. Like, you guys are idiots. And Cho Chang. But yeah, anyway. Why did we even start talking about Cho Chang? What's that about? I don't even remember.
We're talking about different houses, and we had never seen the Ravenclaw.
Yeah. I don't know. Is she a Ravenclaw? No, okay. Now we gotta look this up. You should have just asked her that, too.
Oh, crap. She's already downstairs. I know she's come back up. It's okay. Well, can I ask something else real quick while you're looking that up?
Yeah.
Something that I found out about just yesterday when the pre-orders went up, that this game is $70. I don't know, like, some people are already on the bandwagon, like, yeah, of course, it's $70, all next-gen games are $70. Not all next-gen games have been $70. 2K was the first company that put out a $70 game, and then I think Activision did with the new Call of Duty, and then PlayStation has been, With Xbox, it's been kind of weird because since the game has come out on Game Pass, I don't even think people notice whether I feel like the new Halo game was just $60. So it's been weird, but yeah. So $70 for this game. Do you think it's worth $70 from what you've seen so far? Like, would you get this game day one?
I'm definitely getting this game day one. Yeah. I probably would, to be honest.
Is it a bummer that it's $70, or are you like not surprised?
I'm not surprised. I mean, we're kind of prepared for this. Yeah. I mean, ever since 2K came out at $70, and technically Horizon Forbidden West is also $70. There's just a workaround.
Yeah, true.
But I definitely would have paid $70 for Horizon, so there's no reason why I wouldn't pay $70 for this.
That's fair. It's
lucky that I mentioned this before. We're lucky that this hobby is relatively pretty cheap. Like, $70 for this massive of a game in 2022, I mean, it's a steal. We're getting it, especially if they end up adding stuff to this game, which is, like we were saying earlier, this game could become, a long-standing game where they add new questline and new content, so...
Yeah, but I mean, they're gonna make you pay extra for the new content, though. Like, yeah, I doubt it'll be like free stuff. I kind of disagree with you a little bit. I think that gaming is super expensive, and I feel like paying $60 for video games on top of paying
$400 to $500
on consoles is like a ton of money.
You've never tried golfing? Try to golf.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure golf is also an expensive hobby.
It is. I think compared to my other hobbies, gaming is significant. Like, I think a lot of my friends would say, besides the initial investment of buying a console, games is very cheap because it's rare that you're buying a game. Like, how often do you buy a game?
Rare. I don't buy a lot of games because it's expensive.
In how often do you buy like a triple? First of all, there's not that many AAA games that are worth buying at one given time. This is the busiest we've been in terms of buying games in the last 2 years. You know.
I guess kind of like, I think it depends on what kind of gamer you are. Like, I'm sure if we had John on here, like, he plays a ton of video games.
I don't think he plays that much more than we do.
Oh, he plays more than I do. I don't know. Maybe not more than you. I don't know. But I feel like there's always a game, one or two games, even if there's a new game that comes out once a month that you want to buy.
I think that's even too much to say. Like,
really?
After Elden Ring, what game are you going to buy? Like, I play Elden Ring. Like, what game is worth buying in the next 2-3 months?
I'd have to look at like big upcoming games coming out. Like,
that's another thing. We never even know when games are coming out. Like, the next thing for me would be God of War. I have no idea when that game's coming out. It might be this month, maybe next month.
Ghostwire Tokyo?
No, ain't nobody buying that.
What? People are hyped about that game. The game looks good. It's a PlayStation exclusive, though.
When is that coming out?
I'm pretty sure it comes out in April. March 25th. That's like next week.
Next week, yeah.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land. People are excited about that game.
No.
Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga. That game was huge. Like, everyone's talking about that game.
These are all games that you can just wait till it goes on sale to buy, though.
I mean, you're right. I think that's why. I think video games is much more affordable if you don't buy them day one. Like, which is why I always say don't buy games new.
I feel like for most people, when they have the set of games that they buy day one and everything else is just on the back burner until it goes on sale.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, we all have like a couple of IPs where it's like, this comes out, I'm buying it day one. Everything else is just, I'll get to it when I get to it.
But there are people who buy all their games day one or just buy them at full price.
I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but I don't think it's like,
I don't think it's the majority.
I don't think it's the norm, because think about all our friends. How many of our friends do you know that like, every game they've ever wanted to play, they bought it day one?
We gotta get John back on here. I feel like he's the kind of guy that would do that. And I can't think of anybody else, just because I don't know a lot of people who play video games.
Really?
I feel like most people I know that play video games, they play like one game. Or they play like two games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know people like that too, but I do know people that are very diverse. And yeah, it's usually, Especially because a lot of our friends are PC gamers, so they gotta wait for the PC port to come out.
Yeah.
I think everyone has their niche. Like I said, I think everyone has their niche. They buy this game, or these kind of games on day one all the time, and everything else, okay, I'll try it out whenever it goes on sale or whenever I get the chance.
But can we agree that if you are a one of those day one gamers, like you just love video games, you are going to play Ghostwire, you're going to play Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is that Borderlands spinoff, you're going to be playing Kirby. Like you're buying 2 to 3 new video games per month.
Yeah, I do agree. If you do that, then yeah, it would be very expensive. But I just have a hard time thinking that somebody likes that many different kinds of video games so much that they have to play on day one.
That's fair. Yeah, that is fair.
Those are all wildly different video games. They're very dissimilar from each other. Like if 3 or 4 Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy type games came out in 1 month, yeah, it would be trouble, because that's like 3 or 4 of the game type that I really like, you know. But well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of which, another point I wanted to add, that Harry Potter is also coming out the same month, maybe the same week, as another hit Western RPG, Starfield.
We've seen very little of that game, so who knows?
We have seen very little. It's getting kind of annoying now. It's like they keep posting stuff about it on Twitter and online of art and stuff like that and interviews, and it's like, okay, I just show me gameplay. Like if you're not going to show me anything, then just don't talk about it. Like at this point, it's kind of annoying. That being said, I think a lot of people are excited about it, and I wonder if PlayStation is. You know, because this whole preview for Harry Potter came out during a PlayStation State of Play. I wonder if PlayStation's response to Starfield coming out in the holiday season is Harry Potter. Like, they're just going to put a bunch of advertising behind Harry Potter to get people in the mindset like, oh, Harry Potter, this game is a PlayStation game, even though it's multi-platform. Kind of like what they did with Destiny, you know what I mean? Maybe they even have some, like, exclusive content for Harry Potter. And I wonder if there even is an overlap between Harry Potter gamers and Starfield gamers, or if it's like not even really something that Bethesda or Avalanche / WB should worry about. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
I mean, I'm like vaguely interested in Starfield, but definitely way more interested in Harry Potter than that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm way more interested in Harry Potter too. And my opinion is kind of mute because I have Game Pass, so I'm getting Starfield for free. But, well, I shouldn't say for free. Starfield is coming with my Game Pass subscription. Yeah. It feels it's free after you pay, right? That's how free works. So, yeah. Sorry, I just want to add that one other point in there as well. I have a couple more points. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about.
Is there anything that they didn't show that you thought that they would? Or did you hope they do it?
I thought they'd focus a lot more on the story, on the campaign of the game. Like, kind of like what we were saying before, I still have no idea what the main plot of this game is. At this point, I'm not even sure if there even is a plot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What about you?
Just more specifics about your character combat abilities and... just more specifics on like controls, like how do you do things, you know?
And you're so into these mechanics and systems.
Bro, it is what makes or break a game like this, bro. Like,
yeah.
If it's not fun to play, it doesn't matter how cool the world is. If I don't like what happens when I press the buttons, like how will I enjoy myself?
That's fair. That's very true.
Especially something that's like so, like I can't really think of a game that revolves, I'm sure someone will tell us, that revolves around like kind of spell based combat like this.
I'm sure wands. I can't think
exactly.
Of anything.
Well, wands definitely not, right? So
yeah,
because usually whenever you have spells and abilities, it's just like you equip the spell and then you just press one button.
Yeah, but like since Skyrim or something.
Yeah. So, but since the whole combat system revolves around that, there's no way it's just like press right on the D-pad and press R1 and then it happens. It's like, there's no way. Right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty complex. So I I wish they would do a state of play specifically just for the combat. Like they really could do a state of play for each of these small sections they did in this big one. Like they had one for the world and exploration, and then they had one for combat, and they had one for crafting. Didn't have one for story, like you said, which is strange. But you can make a video about each one of these. That's like the biggest thing. I was kind of hoping, right? A state of play this large, a 15-minute state of play, that you would see a little bit more of that. But like you said, that might come out in a big gameplay trailer that comes out right before the game comes out.
Yeah.
No, that's about it.
Okay. One other point I had was there were some discussions about the crafting system in the game. So if you notice during the video when it shows crafting, there's a little timer on like the pot where he's creating the potion for. It shows like 10 minutes remaining or something like that. Very like mobile app kind of system, right? People were thinking, oh, this looks like a microtransaction sort of thing where you gotta wait a few hours or you can pay to like speed it up. You know
no
what I mean?
Way, dude. No
so
way.
People were flipping out about this. They came out yesterday saying that there are no microtransactions in this game, which is very good, but that still does leave the whole time gating of crafting. And I bet it is.
I bet one of your playstyles, like you're a potion master, or you're like you're really good at using like side abilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you upgrade the talents and traits of that specific playstyle, your potion crafting would be shorter. That's probably what it is. I'm guessing that's the cleanest way you can make it. But yeah. the ones in the trailer, they were like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was very short.
It's 2 minutes. Oh yeah, so time gate. This potion will take 5 minutes. Go do a side quest, and all of them will be done. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not like it's
not a big deal.
15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. That's like okay, long enough that you essentially have to close the game and then come back tomorrow. You know,
at least from
what we saw in the trailer, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and to be honest, personally, I don't mind time gating like that. Sometimes I think it's kind of fun to before the end of the day. Start up some potions, and then you know the next day.
This is not an MMO, Brigham.
Looking forward to getting back to the game to get all your potions and all the stuff that you've been working on. I don't know. It's like Farmville esque.
It can
be a fun system. I'm just saying. Like
I would not agree with
if
that.
If it feels mandatory, like if it's like this thing where it's like you have to have potions to fight, but you can't make a potion for the next like 3 hours, that would suck.
Oh, yeah, that would suck. Yeah.
If it's like a side thing, I don't know.
Yeah, if there's like a large cooldown too, like there was no mention of cooldowns in this when it comes to like crafting. Yeah, large cooldowns would be a problem too, especially because like,
yeah.
can I not complete the game if I don't do this stuff, or if I do this stuff, how much easier will it make it? You know. Mm-hmm. It depends on like how much of a big deal it is. Like you said, if it's like a side thing that's just adds another layer to your playstyle, then yeah, like a little 2 minute cooldown doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah, I can see that too. So my last point I wanted to bring up was something that a lot of people have been talking about with this announcement, which is the J.K. Rowling controversy. We kind of brought it up before, but I just want to bring this up really quick because I kind of feel like it's impossible to talk about this game without bringing this up as well. Just because there have been so many articles recently about it, that like IGN and GameSpot posted made an article about this, how you can't really talk about this game without also acknowledging the statements that J.K. Rowling has been making in the past couple years. Her like, not I don't want to like get into specifics, but essentially she's just been making some like comments about like how comments against transgender people and how trans women are not real, quote unquote, real women and things like that. So like, I don't know, and it's like it's this weird thing where she's just been very much of like dying on that hill. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like just unapologetically making these crazy statements and making a lot of people angry, hurting a lot of people. And some people are saying now, like, you know, some people are choosing not to play this video game because they don't want to indirectly support J.K. Rowling.
Mm.
And I don't know, I was just kind of curious what your thoughts are on all that.
Yeah. Okay, before we go into that very serious topic, I'm looking through the video right now, and yeah, some of the cooldowns were like 25 minutes. So
okay,
we're in trend. But it's all about like how much each person is willing to separate the artist from the art kind of thing. It feels like this is pretty, she's probably, I'm guessing she's making money off of this because it's her IP, you know?
Yeah, she's not, the studio has announced that she is not directly involved with the game, but obviously because she owns Harry Potter, I mean, I'm sure she'll get some sort of like residuals, right?
Yeah, so it is indirect support of her lifestyle, I guess. I don't know, man. This whole, I don't want to go into a freaking woke culture foolishness where it's like, yeah, she's a freaking idiot. And it's like, I don't want her to have a huge platform to spread this hateful stuff that she's saying and all that stuff. But like, I'm not like, if she makes a little bit of money off of this, I mean, she still got to eat, you know? Like, I don't know. How do you justify someone not living anymore, you know? It's like,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't agree with anything she says. And if she came out with another book, for a lot of reasons, I probably wouldn't read that book, besides the fact that she doesn't, like, that she's kind of a terrible person, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to read the book also because it's a Harry Potter book and I'm freaking 28. So I wouldn't buy it for my kids, or like, I was like, or just make sure that people know that like what she stands for is like not okay. But I'm not gonna not play a video game that she had nothing to do with, because her IP that she created is like the inspiration behind it, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, where it's like
very, it's pretty, it's far enough removed from her that I can like put my blinders on, you know, and be like, it's okay to play this game.
Yeah, I feel kind of similarly. Like, it's one of those things where I feel bad because I don't really think there is like a one thing that fixes that, one true answer of what everyone should do, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which, like, sometimes I get kind of annoyed when people are like, oh, like, you should play this game because if you choose to boycott this game, you're just hurting the developers.
Yeah.
And there's other people on the other side that was like, oh, well, you shouldn't play this game. If you do play this game, that means that you're okay with transphobia and stuff like that. And so it's just like, I think that people just need to handle it in the way that they feel most comfortable handling it, you know? Yeah. There isn't really any way. I think at the end of the day, like, J.K. Rowling can be rich, whether this game is successful or not, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And she's going to be rich. Like, Harry Potter IP could die right now. She has enough money that she'll be well off making capital some other way. That's kind of how I feel about it. But at the same time, I totally support people who are like, if playing this game doesn't make you happy because every time you play it, you think of J.K. Rowling, like, yeah, that's okay. Like, yeah, don't play it, and that's totally fine. That's your choice, and people should do what makes them happy. And for me, it's one of those things where it's like, I already like Harry Potter. Like, it's kind of too late for me, I think. Like, I love Harry Potter. It's like part of my childhood, and it'd be weird for me to pretend like I don't like Harry Potter now, because the truth is, I still really enjoy Harry Potter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The world isn't so black and white that you can't have two conflicting emotions at one time. You can simultaneously like Harry Potter and simultaneously like not like what J.K. Rowling says about trans people. Like, it's not one or the other. Human beings can have multiple feelings and multiple opinions and emotions at one specific time on one specific topic. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well said. Okay.
So, yeah, I think that's what we have on Harry Potter. Like you said, I think what you said is best is, if playing this game really makes you feel uncomfortable because of the IP is connected to her, then don't. Like, no one's going to be mad about you. But at the same time, like, don't call me transphobic because I play Hogwarts Legacy. I play a video game.
I know. I keep thinking about there are people who, like, have, you know, just totally average lives where, like, you know, they work all day, work overtime just to make ends meet. And, like, Harry Potter is, like, one of those few things that makes them super happy. Like, I don't want to go up to them and be like, hey, don't play this game anymore because the person who made it, who made the IP, has actually, like, said really awful things online. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's such like a thing that I feel like it's just a person per person basis on what they feel like they should do is best for themselves. That I think as long as people make the decision they want to and feel okay with their decision, like that's all that really matters, in my opinion. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because a lot of people are talking about it. So
yeah, for sure. Well, we're pretty far ahead here. Couple updates, I guess. I started playing Elden Ring. I'm about 13 hours in before this podcast was recorded. I spent almost two hours beating the second big boss of the game. So yeah, that's the
only
thing.
The second boss.
Yeah. Second, wow. Like big cutscene boss, yeah. And apparently once you beat him, it's what's his name? I already forgot his name. It's one of the castle. Godric, yeah. Once you beat Godric, a lot of the game opens up, apparently. Even though I've been kind of running around the world pretty freely before then. But I guess it was some other stuff that I couldn't do that I can do now. I don't know. This game is very confusing. That's my first impression. It's very confusing. You need a freaking PhD to know what the heck's going on. And the world is big, which is cool. There's a lot of stuff to do. It's kind of hard to be bored. There's like things to explore and things to see and things to do all over the map, right? But it also feels like, it feels like I'm weak for everything. That's my biggest complaint. It's not my biggest complaint. But one of my big complaints is I'm weak for everything. I pick up a weapon, can't use it. Pick up armor, it's kind of terrible. Everything you find, I can't use it yet. So I don't know if it's because leveling up just takes a long time, because it does. Not only because it's all revolves around the runes, and runes involves killing things, or if it's because you just end up dying a lot playing this game, at least in the beginning, that it just takes forever to level up. But I have been told that once you do get level up, it's one of those you gotta play 30 hours before the fun begins kind of game.
Right? Oh no!
It's like once you get further in the game and you have more health and you have more, you know, you do more damage and you have
really
healing potion. Now you can like not die or not be fearing for your life every time there's more than two opponents. So yeah, I don't know. I'm still very early on. First impression is, yeah, the game is as hard as you would expect, especially for someone that hasn't played Souls games before, because the actual mechanics of this game they're so different from literally anything you will ever play. I think that's the biggest hurdle of this game, is just getting used to how your character moves, because your character moves like, you know, like someone that has a bunch of armor on them or is fighting monsters. It's very realistic, you know. Yeah. So maybe you can be moving like this, so you're not overpowered in any way. So it's just like, it takes 200 years to freaking roll to the left. It takes forever to bring out an item because you got to flip through 8 things to get to it. If you get staggered, your character takes a long time to get on his feet and dodge again. Yeah. It just feels like you have a 20-pound ton on you at all times, which you do, I guess. But it's just not very video game-like. It just feels like pain. It's just pain. There's a lot of pain in this game.
Yeah, I'm just impressed that you've been playing it. Like, we talked so much how we both were not going to play this game, and you did, and you still are playing. So
yeah, it's just, that's another thing. I understand why. Okay, no, actually, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can play this game and be mad or surprised that other people don't want to play. Like, there's so much toxicity around this game because people have this, they get this like highbrow, like I'm better than you because I play these type of games feeling around it, which I absolutely hate. It's like we were saying earlier, if the game doesn't make you happy, why would you play it? But people are like, oh, you're just not good enough for it. It's like, you're just being toxic. Like, what do you think, playing something that I don't enjoy just to prove to you that I'm good is something that I should do? So that's why I'm like, yeah, if you don't think you're going to like this game, don't freaking play it. Like, I'm not sure that I'm going to beat this game. And if I do, I'm 100% sure I'm never playing a game like this ever again. Like, I don't think it's that rewarding. It's so rewarding that, like, everyone needs to play it. I just felt like it's such a big IP and it's such a big game type that I've been putting off for so long that I just felt like, okay, I need to give it a shot. So I am. I'm going to give it the biggest, honest shot that I possibly can, but there is just no guarantee that I'm going to beat it. And there's also no guarantee that I'll ever play another game like this. So,
oh, wow.
Some of my friends were like, oh, you should go back and play Dark Souls 3 or Dark Souls 1. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. It's just...
That's funny.
I'm definitely not doing that. I think I was right in thinking that this game is probably not completely for me. But again, I'm only in there for like 14 hours, so...
Only 14 hours.
I mean, freaking... People are logging hundreds of hours in this, no problem, bro. I've done nothing.
I'm very interested to hear how your journey continues, so we will catch up on that for next time for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have an actual expert and lover of the game on to tell us what they like about it and their impressions for people out there that do enjoy this game, which obviously this game is going to be a Game of the Year candidate for sure. The internet is loving it. Aside from the toxic people that just keep telling you to get good, there are like actual fun gamers that are like, yeah, this is a fun game. Again, I see a lot of good things about it. I understand why you like it, but I also understand why you wouldn't. So, yeah, that's my first impressions of Elden Ring. This has been a long podcast episode. Lots going on.
Yeah, lots going on. We can keep going if we want to. I think we'll probably end it right here for sure. But yeah, a lot of news this month. You know, a lot more coming up the next couple months, I think. So yeah, make sure to smash that subscribe button and leave us a review in the iTunes.
Give us reviews. It helps the algorithm, the almighty algorithm. But yeah, that's what we got. If you enjoy the show, like Brigham said, give us a follow on the socials and follow us on your podcast listening app of choice, and come back next time.